Thank you for being here. I would ask you maybe to first say your names and how are you connected with Sonos Copia?
I'm Vicente and I've been connected to Sonos Copia since 2 years ago, so quite not a long time. And I've been working now every day, a bit everything that is needed in all the projects and the collective.
My name is João, and I've been part of the team for 4 years now, I think. And of course, we collaborated before, but yeah, a bit like Vicenta, we do whatever's needed, a bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Gustavo. Since the beginning of Sonos Copia, I was one of the founders. Sonos Copia was officially founded in 2011, but we've been working together for many years before that, so that principle of formalization was just actually a bureaucratic formalization. But yeah, we all been working together for quite a large number of years.
Hello, I'm Henrique Fernandes. I use more or less the same words of Gustavo. I'm from the beginning and before this, the formalization of the association. Yeah, we are working a long time ago before. It's more or less.
Yeah, since the late 90s.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Well, I'm Alberto and I work also from, I don't know, 20 years ago that we 20. Know.
20
I returned to Porto and I've been working with Sonos Copia from, I don't know, 11 years or 10 years ago. And it's kind of the all around, we make a bit of everything. So
nice. We're missing one member of the team.
Yeah, here. Patricia, she was also one of the founders, and she's here every day. She's not here now, actually.
She has been here already.
But she was also one of the founders, and even before actually we formalized the association, she was also working with us.
20 years, yeah. More or less. I remember.
20 years. Now we have this concert cycle called Microvolumes. Yeah. That this year it will be the 20th anniversary.
Let's come back to that, but maybe it's good to also describe for our listeners what Sonos Copia actually is.
Well, it started a little bit. Alberto was organizing this festival, an experimental music festival in the late 90s, called Collab, and this was a way of putting together many people that was kind of more sparse in the experimental music at the time. So we kind of got in touch doing a lot of different bands and a lot of different projects since that time. And things evolved as a music collective, renting a rehearsal space, and gradually it evolved into a more, you know, more defined form. And later in 2011, we decided to make an association, and things started to become a bit more
formalized.
I was thinking about not institutionalized, because that's something completely against what we want to do. But in a way, you are being more and more forced to go into that kind of bureaucratic institutionalized forms.
Yeah. Maybe Alberto, from what idea did you start in the late 90s, long time ago?
No, the idea would be like, I loved the experimental music, and I still do, of course. And what I thought was that, there should be more people here that cope with that, I was actually attending some workshops in my hometown and having seeing a festival that was going there, And I thought, well, why not doing it in Porto, because it's nothing here on the alike. And I mean, in that sense, I was not wrong, because there was a lot of people interested, and we were doing also a lot of workshops, so musicians could interact and could learn, or I don't know, to interact with each other. And a lot of it had these fruits later.
So at the beginning was more about connecting the local scene, or just getting to know it, or shaping it into
some sort of event, was to show that stuff to also to other to audience, not only to the musicians, but as a part that was missing here in Porto. That then I later learned that before there would be some attempts, but probably out of time, at that were made in here in Porto, and they just vanished. And pushed it forward, like in a, okay, let's see what's happening, if there's people interested in this. And there was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it's always like a minority, it's not the biggest audience, but we still, for today, we have a steady audience here in our concerts. But it's probably not the thing that will fill a Coliseum, but nevertheless, there's people that are interested, and that serve us.
You have some sort of community around it, right?
Yeah, there's a community, and that's something that it really changed from 30 years ago, because Portugal was always a very peripheric country compared to other Central European countries. So the scene here was very small until the 90s. But as soon as this mobility, European mobility, started to become more available, it brought a very different artistic life to the city. And that's very good, in my opinion. Of course, you also have the downside to it, where you have the extreme gentrification. For instance, now Porto is a very touristic place, and 30 years ago it would be unimaginable that Porto would become a touristic spot, because it was, you know, a very different city in some senses.
Mm-hmm.
But culturally, it's much, much better nowadays, in my opinion.
It's different.
Yeah, I think you win some things and you lose another ones. It's like I think this happens in every place. You don't have many offered, many people. The things, of course, they are more closed and more underground in some sense. But sometimes they are very rich. And of course, they are for a few persons. I think now Portuguesa is like what Gustavo tell. Yeah, you have many more people, and this, of course, in the end, is for me, is better too. Of course, but just have different feelings.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, now when you mentioned Porto and the developing of the city and so on, it's maybe also worth mentioning that we are sitting in a space that it's quite new for you, and it's quite special to have it in Porto, I would say. So you were super lucky about it.
Especially right now.
In Europe.
In Europe.
In the world.
I think it's not just Porto. But in port in general, yeah, it's true, it's very difficult to find a place. And of course, we are now in this place, and it's very special, of course.
So how I see it, as being like a temporary resident here, is that you're super active, like coming every day, you have the studios, you have the possibilities to work. It's a very active place, but maybe it would be interesting to explain how your relation with space was developing. What were the beginning of the underground spaces, if you had some not official ones, and what happened that you arrived to this point, and what it gives you also, this space, what possibilities?
It evolved as a natural consequence of having rehearsal spaces. 30 years ago, we all shared a rehearsal room, and we were paying a very low rent. And with time, we always felt the need to have a bit more. And something that Actually, with Alberto, there was a space where we renovated a bit before Contagio Art, and this was, yeah. I don't know, 20 or more years ago. Mm. So there was always the thing about having a space, because, you know, I always felt very attracted by these collectives like San Ra. They used to live in the same house, and they would wake up in the middle of the night and rehearse and play. And also all these alternative spaces, all these squads where basically you'd create microcosmos in around the house. So that was always the idea, to create all the possible conditions to do everything in the most autonomous way. To have rooms, to have a kitchen, to be able to allow to people to stay here and sleep and and share equipment. For example, when all of us start to bring our own personal gear, suddenly everyone was able to use a lot of stuff. And this principle of sharing, it was always since the beginning, and, you know, we started doing things collectively and things just grew. And before this house, we had another one that was a bit smaller. So this one is actually, you know, it's the climax. No, it's not getting small. It's big enough for the next 20 years. And then we will retire and go to Slovenia.
Welcome. What kind of... let's say, what kind of activities you host here? Like, I have to say, I noticed the Fonoteca that you have, but then you also, now we are in your concert hall, let's say, so maybe if you could describe a bit, if you would go, if let's go for a virtual walk through the house and how it hosts you.
Well, I can talk first about this part. This is normally where the concerts happen, but actually it's not every time it happens here. Actually, in all the houses, and there's some places that some rooms that haven't had concerts yet, but yeah, I think a lot of them. But yeah, this is probably the place where most of the concerts happen, and there's Microvolumes, which is a program that hosts concerts every month. It's twice normally, sometimes more, sometimes less, and it's one of the first things that Sonoscopia, Gustavo, Alberto, Henrique, Patricia organized, and it's one of the main events, I would say.
What keeps us connected with the experimental music scene, because after 20 years, you know, there has been so many people coming here that we have people from all over the world coming here, and I think that's actually the heart of Sonoscopy, it's this concert series. I think it's the heart of everything we do.
And just some days ago, we walked through all the people that were here, because Rodrigo, that is not here, did a big list of all more than 900 people and concerts.
Events,
not people.
People,
it's much more.
Much more.
Maybe a few thousands now.
So we just did, me and João, we just added the last 2 years, and it was a lot of people as well. And it's quite fascinating. For me, in my perspective, is even more, because I started as a listener, as a participant, and to see all these, because I didn't attend everything, of course, because I'm pretty much more younger than the rest. It's quite fascinating to see all of these people from all over the world coming here and having concerts, so it's quite a privilege, I think.
Can you say again the name of this event?
Microvolumes. Microvolumes.
Yeah, it's in Portuguese.
So this is something that happens once a month?
More or less.
More
two times.
Twice.
Uh-huh. Normally they're around two times.
Yeah, and it depends, because sometimes there are some extra that, because someone that's, some musicians that are on tour, and they ask, can we have some, And then there's an extra one.
Yeah,
or
but
two.
In the end, have some months we just make one.
Yeah. Yeah,
compensate.
We do.
We try
as
to.
An average, it's 18 concerts a year.
Yeah.
You try to actually keep the because now we are living in time of overproduction, right? Which can quite fast also get you exhausted. So it's good to set yourself limits, I would say. Or what are your reasons?
But
yeah.
We end up always like improvising and adding some more. But the idea is that what Gustavo was saying is like it's trying to have small because there's a lot of other stuff that
outside.
Has
because,
to be done in
because
the
so. That concert series is one part of the program, but actually what takes us more time it's our own productions, our own music. So that's what we're working every day, apart from the concerts we organize.
And actually we are in a time, quite calmer time, that enables us to work like we are, Enrique is doing. And
One thing we don't do so regularly is to try, this in case is related with the past older project, but in the end the goal is not this, is I think we don't make so regularly is to pick up our instruments and try record them and try play a little bit and try register. And in this case is what we are doing here. But sometimes we need time and
space.
And space. And and this is not a thing we do so often.
It's sort of documentation, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in this case is more documentation, not just for a specific project. In the end, we try, because we several times we make this, we try record sounds we can use in another, in different projects, sometimes like Foley and some backup sounds. Yeah. Just. Because the things sometimes are very ephemeral, the things you do, and it's not a properly structured finish. It's a thing probably you go record and probably some of these things you never more set up in the same way.
I think it would be interesting because for now we were naming this production only experimental music, but maybe for each of you, since we were speaking about also your own production, if you could name in which phenomena are you actually interested in or with what you work?
Now this is a big question, in fact for me, it's real big. I think more in generally, I go again in the house and the community. And this idea, I think, for me, in the last 20 years, is not about me, it's about doing things in kind of community. Of course, this have many assumptions. But, of course, experimental music is a real big name for everything. But many of the things we are doing is related with this topic, but in different ways. Of course, improvising is one of the first things I think put all us together, and I think we're still with different logics, but we are still continuing exploring this world of improvised music. But of course, everybody have kind of a special
interest approach.
And but many things we do collectively and. I don't know, in this case, this is all more or less objects or instruments we can put playing in different ways, exploring new sounds from the older and new instruments. This kind of world of new instruments, new sound sources, is one of the things we are exploring for a long time. And the materiality of the things, the sound, in general, music and sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the others can answer more things.
So it's, I mean, the main issue is always sound, and we just explore it. So we do experiment a lot to try new stuff, to just figure out and work with that. But I think that the main thing is, I mean, I don't know, we should be like, sound explorers or whatever.
Yeah, I think something that it's common through most of the things we do is to try to find a personal voice and try to find something that it's exciting and new. At least for me, I was always, since I was a kid, I was always into, you know, listening to music that could be able to surprise and to get new stuff. And I still try to do that today. Of course, the more you know, the more you know your place, and the more you know that you're not doing anything particularly new. Mm-hmm. But everyone is different, so everyone is able to produce something different than the previous persons that were studying before and developing this kind of approaches. So I think this sense of I like the word experimental, because for me it's like a never going process of trying to discover something new. So that's why I think this name experimental music is still quite valid for me.
Experimental, in the sense, I think for me is in this kind of sense of it's never closed.
Yeah, you're never happy with the result of that.
Yeah, it's experimental in the sense. Yeah.
And at the same time, it's about sharing experiences and knowledge, and putting it into practice. And for instance, if you know sound design, if you know sound operation, if you can build instruments, all of that comes together and creates something new in that sense. So it's like we have symbols here. Symbols are a very common thing, but you try to capture the sounds differently, use turntables to spin the symbols and get new sounds out of it, or string instruments, nothing new, but then you use motors and styrofoam, all sorts of geekery, you know, like you put them in this sort of unbalanced movement and you get different results every time.
Yeah, the house is full of constructed instruments, right?
Yeah, this is the magic of the radio and the sound. You don't see, you just imagine.
This DIY approach
is nice
as well.
You are talking.
To do it yourself and not wait for someone else to make your stuff and just go and buy it. You know, so yeah, we have the workshops. We were just talking about the different spaces in the house. So we have electronics workshop, wood workshop to prototype. We have the studios where we can work, record. If we need a bigger space like this one we're in, we can spread everything around, scatter everything, and have a different approach to playing with stuff. And not just, okay, now I'm in this studio, I'm going to record voice or an instrument and that's it. No, here you can really have everything all around and kind of stimulate your imagination, and it's like a playground for music.
Yeah, I guess maybe we could even put the experimental like opposites to projectional thinking, right? Because I think most of the artists in nowadays are in projects, so you have like limited time and space to create something in this, how the funds are working. So immediately when you have a space and community that is all the time available to you, like suddenly the process can prolong itself and becomes like infinite almost, right?
Yes, in the end, I think we are too in the kind of project world, but of course it's different if you have a space or not, you know, because many, of course, we know many artists don't have space, and I think it's not a limitation in the end. I think it's just a different way to be on the art world, more than just music, and of course the possibility to, for when you have a space is amazing, and I think we are working on this for a long time, this the idea of have a space, stage space, and with all difficulties and movements the space have.
I have a question about the production of music, like are you also functioning as a label house, or how do you produce your own publishing? Publishing house.
Well, we do a few releases, CDs, vinyl, books,
cassettes.
Last year we did a lot. We're still doing it because we love the physical format. So it was always, and I think more and more it's going to be relevant. There's a big problem in digital documentation because there's a real danger of losing all this over production of digital information. I think the risk of being lost is really high. So we're still doing limited releases. I think it's also a part of that accompanies the creative the music that it's in it. Of course, it's a very small label. Mostly we sell it in our concerts and stuff. So, but at least there's a physical product where we can have a real trace of what we're doing.
Yeah, there's this emotional side that you cannot really relate to a digital file. And if you have an object and if you have something to grab to, it's very different from just,
MP3.
Partially listening to a file or skipping, or there's an intention behind it, and you listen to the resulting music, and it's like you have to turn the cassette, you have to turn the vinyl, there's an intention behind it. It's not like skip.
Yeah, and there's already a filter when you look for a physical product. It's not something that, it's in the midst of thousands and thousands of records available online. You have to filter it, look for it, take care of it, and that actually creates a very different relation in terms of listening.
Yeah, you don't can keep everything when you have that, because it's a point in our days. Yeah, the space, because the physical things occupy space, and of course you have this filter too. You need to select with a kind of hard drive. You can put tons of things. Probably I go, I don't go, listen, I don't go see.
Yeah, the digital things are sometimes actually really distant from us, because also if we, somebody, they're stored somewhere else. But in that case, I like I mentioned Phonoteca before. And it's also like the collection of the things that you have here, like the physical carriers. Mm-hmm. They're also connected with your connections, with your travels, with your gigs that you had around. So they create this very personal scope of actually your artistic life, let's say, right?
All these objects have a story.
Yeah.
They have a person behind it. They have a place. They come from a tour we did. They come from an artist that was here and left an object. So it's completely different, the relation you have with a physical object than the one you have with the digital music.
Of course, you can buy stuff online, but in the case that we do, for example, the zine, we only sell it and only makes sense to sell it in person. The objects are created in that sense.
I got the last number of zine, but can you tell me maybe now when you mentioned more about its production?
Yeah, I come with a background in visual arts, so that's probably an input that I have a bit off from the rest. So I tried to, and I try to bring that. Besides my work with sound and music, I try to bring that input into Sonoscopia, and the zine is one of the results. And I'm really interested in the forms of printing and these informal formats of sharing objects as well. So yeah, it all comes to that. And a zine is also makes sense in a collective, I think. And yeah. How it came to life.
Maybe for the end, I would just like to also, we already mentioned one cycle of events that you're doing for 20 and more years already. What are the other focuses in program? Gustavo mentioned that you're also making some sort of festival, non-official one.
It's official. After 10 years, it's official.
It's official, but we want to keep this spirit of non-official. No? But it's true, it's official.
Yeah, we still try to keep this DIY spirit very present. Although, as you see now, with time, Sonoskopia just went bigger and bigger. I mean, we're always aware of the size, and that size could be a problem. But it's a big house, so now we have to deal with bureaucracy, with money. And that sometimes takes so much energy for what you really want to do, which is just focus on the creative output of it. So we really try to be still connected with the DIY ethic, and we're doing this festival called No Noise, where we basically do things without... It's a very, very low budget artists that are on tour, local artists, and we do everything how we always used to be from 30 years ago. You just grab a bunch of people, put them playing. We do everything from cleaning to programming, the lights, the sound, cook, drink beer.
Food is important for your concert.
Of course. Food is the element that puts people together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it also helps in this thing about making all the events very familiar.
Yeah.
So this is not a place where you just come and it's difficult music, you have to be in silent. So the food creates a very friendly atmosphere, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have so many people here in the shows too, because people feel that they are welcomed and people feel that this is also their house. And food was...
And it helps endure the concerts. If you are with your belly full, it's easier.
No, and of course we'll have other points. Turns the event that people can be, don't go out for just stay and it's very Portuguese.
Yeah,
the social part.
Yeah, it's the social part. It helps the sense of community that we're really interested in. Even if you're not completely familiar with experimental music, you can come here and enjoy, and you feel welcomed here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very a concept that would be known more from social centers or from squat atmosphere to have a dinner together with an event or that the food is the main connecting point. So it's true, I think this is a Portuguese special.
Not only Portuguese, here. I mean, we've seen in all the squats. Yeah, that's squats. Why we always liked it so much that we
try to bring to us.
Squat energy.
It's not so often now for me, you go in the squats, but we still try keep, I think many of them disappear too, is a consequence of the time, but some still.
Let's cherish them.
But of course we leave this very strong, and it's one thing we really try to keep this spirit, the yourself, all the energy of the squat and liberty and this kind of.
Maybe it's the last important thing is also how do you select the artist for the events, or another way around, how can somebody approaches you like that want to collaborate with you?
For the concerts, we have a lot of spontaneous proposals from musicians, touring artists, and there are so many proposals that we need to make a selection. And the selection is based on whatever fits into the aesthetics and the ethics of the space. And I think that's mostly it. And then there's a few programs where we actually invite people. it's a bit different, could be a bit more formal thing. And for those ones, we actually make invitations. And it's a quite different process. I prefer the spontaneous proposals from musicians, especially musicians that are involved in the experimental music scene or have this kind of devotion for, you know, for this kind of lost cause of sound.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Obrigado.